Penguin Random House Audio presents The Case of Lizzie Borden and Other Writings, Tales of a Newspaper Woman, by Elizabeth Garver Jordan. Edited with an introduction written and read by Jane Carr and Laurie Harrison Kahn. Foreword written and read by Brooke Kroger. Read for you by Barry Krynick.
Foreword. Elizabeth Garver Jordan's stories exemplify the adage, write what you know. What she knew emanated from her reporting and editing for top publications in the nation's media capital, New York City, as the 19th century became the 20th. It emanated from the success she achieved among men inclined to consider the women working in their midst a nuisance. The reportage, fiction, and essays in this volume reflect the rarity of Jordan's career path in the 1890s. She rose from journalism's trenches, not from a feminized perch. She earned respect as a peer of the men in charge. The best of Jordan's work thus becomes valuable journalism history. Jordan has a cameo in Undaunted, How Women Changed American Journalism, My 180-Year History of Women at the Top of the Field. She appears for her cogent reflections on what she experienced along the way. During much of her working life, women journalists numbered fewer than 250 in the United States, some 10% of the whole, not close to half like today. She was in the minuscule group of women reporters excused from the softer side stories and assigned to the paper's front section, where the hard news appeared. This early reportage, her fiction about women much like herself, and her essays about the women journalist's life and lot give her work significance. In 1893, she was 28, and 3 years into a decade she would spend on the staff of Joseph Pulitzer's The New York World. She expressed pride in her assignment to the city desk and not to the stunt girl arena, where famed investigative journalist Nellie Bly and her imitators, to their credit, carved out the only place to date where girl reporters could build big bylined reputations off the women's pages. Their splashy exposés appeared illustrated in the feature sections of the paper, not among the department store and elixir ads. Jordan was spared the "I was there" indignities that stunt work so often involved. Her early reporting for The World is deep, thorough, and impersonal, focused on the facts, albeit laced with empathic, the word womanly does come to mind, responses to what she learned. Jordan became an editor at The World while still doing daily reporting. In her essay, What It Means to Be a Newspaper Woman, she speaks of the exhaustion her long days brought on. This piece and other reflections join plenty of published commentary about the impact of the newsroom's coarse, hardscrabble culture on the mental and physical well-being of journalism's women in this period. Predictably, Jordan's initial charge as assistant Sunday editor, first under Arthur Brisbane and then under George Harvey, was to run the pages devoted to women and children. But before she left the paper in 1899, she had advanced to have charge of comics and opinion. In the 1890s, this was neither commonplace nor unprecedented. As just two examples from the New York Tribune, Horace Greeley entrusted Margaret Fuller with the post of literary editor a half a century earlier, from 1842 to 1844, and Nellie Mackay Hutchinson reprised the role for Greeley's successor from 1881 to 1890. Still, Jordan rates her own good-sized dot on the continuum that plots the careers of the few women who succeeded in manlike terms on the country's mass circulation dailies. Jordan, like Hutchinson, did not have the wattage of women like Fuller in the 1840s, or Mittie Morgan, Grace Greenwood, Gail Hamilton, or Mary Clemmer in the 30 years that followed, or of Bly, Ida Tarbell, or Ida B. Wells thereafter. Keep in mind that this is the case for most superb reporters and editors of any gender right up to the present. The work is meant to be ephemeral, after all. Jordan did not have the benefit of a consistent byline to aggrandize her reputation as a reporter. As was typical for hard news denizens, her articles went mostly unsigned. In her post as an assistant editor, achieving outside recognition would have also been difficult, especially since her name was not listed on the paper's masthead. Her name, however, does appear in 1893 articles that list the country's women journalists of special note, and that was even before the World sent her to cover the trial of Lizzie Borden. Like the best of Jordan's predecessors, her networking ability was key to her success. In 1899, when George Harvey left the World to become editor of Harper & Brothers, he tapped Jordan to be the top editor of Harper's Bazaar. Women's work, to be sure, although the editor of Ladies' Home Journal was Edward Bok. It was as editor of Bazaar and from her magazine Fiction that Jordan's reputation grew, starting with her City Room Tales, first published in magazines and then collected into a book in 1898. These tales of a newspaper office are feminine, not because they are weak, but because they are womanly, one critic wrote in a review of Jordan's debut fiction collection. The woman in journalism in all her varieties is delicately but truly portrayed. Something else came through in reading Jordan's work. I think her reporting from 1890 to 1893 presages the next two attempts after the stunt era to bring women reporters off the women's pages. That is, the much maligned Sob Sisters with their overwrought courtroom weepies starting around 1907, think the Mary Sunshine role from Chicago, and in their wake, the more admired newspaper front page girls of the 1920s, the women thought of as a man's idea of what a newspaper woman should be. The latter group, almost never more than one woman reporter per paper, would eventually do what Jordan did. Note how her True Stories of the News and her coverage of the Borden trial deploy the signature elements of both Sob Sisters and Front Page Girls, the two cloisters yet to come. Elizabeth Garver Jordan deserves a place in the larger saga of journalism's women for her early hard news positioning on the staff of the World, for her depictions of the woman journalist's life in the 1890s and early 1900s, and for anticipating the next two movements on the boulder-strewn road to women's progress in the field. Read her reportage and essays as windows into how women found a way to thrive in a culture that offered them a reluctant, disdainful welcome. Read her fiction for its nuances and undercurrents, and for the more complete picture of journalism history that it paints. Brooke Kroger.
Introduction. In June of 1893, New York World journalist Elizabeth Garver Jordan spent 2 weeks at the New Bedford Courthouse in Massachusetts, covering one of the most famous and sensationalized murder trials in American history, the case of Lizzie Borden, a 31-year-old unmarried woman accused of murdering her father and stepmother with a hatchet in the family's Fall River home. 1 year after Borden's acquittal, Jordan, aspiring to expand her repertoire beyond newspaper journalism to fiction, published her first short story in Cosmopolitan magazine. Titled Ruth Herrick's Assignment, the story told of an accused murderer who confesses her crime to a young woman reporter during a jailhouse interview, admitting that she poisoned her husband after suffering years of domestic abuse. In an unexpected twist, the guilty woman is acquitted, thanks to the sympathetic journalist who decides to keep the confession a secret, sacrificing the exclusive scoop that would surely make her career. The Cosmopolitan story caused considerable controversy. Readers took it for evidence that Jordan had suppressed her knowledge of Lizzie Borden's guilt, motivated by sympathy and gender solidarity. Jordan denied the charge, offering as proof her claim to have written Ruth Herrick's Assignment before the Fall River murders, and her personal belief that Borden was indeed innocent, as the jury had determined. Readers' conflation of the author with her fictional reporter Ruth Herrick did not dissuade Jordan from drawing on material from her own life as she went on to pursue a prolific career as a writer of magazine fiction and novels. Her popular series of May Iverson tales, for example, features a heroine whose profile resembles Jordan's. May is a convent girl turned newspaper reporter with inclinations toward suffrage activism and conflicted views on beauty culture. Furthermore, many of May's experiences and the challenges she faces as a professional woman, including the shame and trauma.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?